Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. I am sitting with Carl and Zach. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Howdy. How are y'all? And we had a fun Sunday morning where we got to hear from y'all. We got to hear part of your testimonies and talked about these 40 days of prayer that we are in as a church to see what God has for our church, specifically speaking to our overseers, which, as we talked about on Sunday, this group is the group that is been designed. We'll read more through the book of Acts about the role of overseers and leaders in the church. But we're tasked with overseeing vision, overseeing my role, the lead pastor, keeping me accountable, but also just enjoying hanging out with one another and having fellowship. So anyway, love for us to continue that conversation this morning and dig in. So first question for y'all is, what was Sunday like? How did you guys feel like it went? You did three gatherings. You shared your story. Carl, you've been up there before. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see how it was different from preaching to sharing your story and being kind of in the spotlight there in a different way.
It was an interesting contrast because you're talking about yourself a bit more, which, yeah, like my age set, it's kind of like you don't really want to talk about your personal stories so much. It's kind of like old school, you know, yeah, as opposed to now. It's different where you weave in your own personal story into things. So I found it actually very hard to grab the highlights and what the spiritual lessons I learned and things. It was a very good process, but I found it very interestingly different than like preaching on a text or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vulnerability, you know, so I was exhausted after it.
You had a vulnerability hangover. Yeah, yes. in a way. Zach, what was it like for you?
Yeah, so, you know, one, I got to give Jose kudos for three sermons. That's three speaking on a Sunday.
That's young guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It is a big thing, yeah.
But also, you know, I'm not used to public speaking as much as y'all are, so took some time to prepare and you know, I felt God's confidence in it, and but I definitely got better as I went. You know, the first round was a little bit nervous, and then found the groove. So that was good, and it was fun. It was fun to be able to share a little bit about myself. I mean, God's done so much in my life that's really all I wanted to talk about, was just share how great He has been, and that's always fun to talk about, you know, the God's goodness, and hopefully, you know, connect some people in that way.
So that's a cool segue there, Zach, because there is a story of a young woman who came up after one of the gatherings, and she was from Sulphur Springs.
Yeah, right? So her dad just recently moved to Sulphur Springs, and she shared some vulnerable things and asked to meet with somebody in the church, and luckily Taylor was right there, and it was just a perfect connection. So that was really, really special.
And the reason why I bring that up is because I love how God moves every Sunday. Every Sunday is special. And we have our plans, but God really works sometimes in those plans, and then other times He actually says, I got other plans for you. Follow this way, that way. And the two of you did a great job being vulnerable. I do think it is more exhausting to be vulnerable and sharing a personal story than it is just preaching on
a
text.
Right.
And every Sunday, we want to show authenticity. We want to show a degree of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not everyone needs to know everything. That's why we have overseers. So I want to be incredibly transparent with the overseers in every aspect of my life. Sunday morning, there needs to be a level of that to spark these moments where people, like this young woman, I thought she was a wonderful example of that, chose to be vulnerable, and God encountered her in a special way. So,
and it was very cool to hear of your story of, you know, adopting kids into the family. That really resonated because my son-in-law's family have done that. And so that really was cool to hear that whole story too. Yeah.
Okay, another question about Sunday. What was it like for your families? Because the third gathering, there was most of your kids were there in the front outside of Jackson was in the back.
Yeah, so I think I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it, but it actually was calming, and I got to kind of like engage with them through the story, which made it even more real, and it was fun. That was really neat, and it's something we'd shared together, you know, obviously our life journey, and yeah, they're very supportive, and it was fun.
For me, I mean, Joy was there, but we were actually on duty with the branches.
With the four and five year olds. Yeah.
So Rachel covered for me with Joy in the classroom, and Joy actually spent two services covering because of the great numbers that are coming in.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. We'll get into that.
Right. Anyway, so she didn't hear as much as she'd planned, and of course my other two kids, one's in San Antonio, the other's in Fort Worth. So they'll see the video clip though. So I'll get their reaction. Stay tuned, right?
Yeah, I remember one time you spoke early on, Carl, and I went up to your children, and they're my age, and I asked him, what did you think? And he said, oh, he was quintessential Carl. And then and here's the point, is that when our families hear us, you can't hide from them. So, they know all of your idiosyncrasies and quirks and soapboxes, too. So, I appreciate it. Yeah, it can be brutal.
It can be brutal,
but I just appreciated that that they said that with a smile on their face, right? Not like, oh my gosh, there he goes again. So I pray that's how my children grow to become like. So both of you are incredible models for me personally as to how you have raised your families, led your homes. So really grateful for that. Yeah. Along that same line, let's go a little deeper. Let's take this opportunity to talk about more of God's goodness in our lives. And I'm thinking about many of you that may be listening, and in this world we will have trouble, Jesus said, right, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so I'd be curious if, in addition, or maybe in greater depth if you want to go into, but a season of your life where you've experienced some tension, that you've really seen God's faithfulness, you've really seen God's goodness, you've seen him come through in a way that you can't explain or maybe hard to explain. I'd love for us to take a bit of time here on the Conversations podcast to go a little deeper. That way, folks listening can also get to know you better and have an opportunity to just share God's goodness. We're able to bless others when we do that.
Right.
Yeah, so just thinking through it, it's God's given us a lot of opportunity for tension. Having six children and two that were adopted, and there's so many great stories to think through. That season going into adopting Anna and Katya, there was a lot of people in our circle, family, possibly, that were very apprehensive, you're bringing this into your family, are you gonna be able to do it, it's gonna be a lot of, they have these problems, and so, and not knowing them, they just assumed
all the fears
were coming out.
Practical,
yeah,
and they were bringing up good problems,
sure, and there were, I think it actually is prudent to really think through your ability to really learn and know what you're getting into. And when it comes to something as serious as adopting, and especially older children who have been in orphanage for years and take, the things they came from. And so it was wise counsel to think through it. But there was tension there, but we felt just a real peace about it. And yes, it was, there were hard times, and our other children had to work through things with the integration and a lot of changes, and there was a season of where we put a lot of attention on the new family members, Anna and Katya, and maybe the other kids didn't get much attention during a short season. So there was just a lot to manage. But obviously on the other side of it, they're thriving. They know Jesus. Their destination was Graham. I mean, the stats for kids aging out in Ukraine or almost anywhere, if even in America, aging out of the foster system, or just look them up, they're pretty gnarly. So, and especially there. So it's been transformational for them. And God's worked in it all. And he gave us the strength, the peace, and the wisdom to know how to handle each situation. Lots of resources. So been very thankful for that. But that was probably one moment of, and I could probably bring up another six or seven that were similar. So it's been both challenging and faith inspiring to go through hard times.
Yeah, that's maybe for other conversations. I'd love to double click on one of those things, Zach, before Carl, we move on to you. And that is when you were meeting that resistance, when you felt God calling you to do something, both you and Stephanie, I'm assuming you were both on the same page.
Oh yeah.
So how do you handle that resistance when you know it's prudent, when you know it's practical, when it makes a lot of sense? You're like, yeah, this is a very hard thing that I sense God calling us to do. What did you do in order to continue to follow that call, to obey what God had put on your heart?
Yeah, a few things. One, you know, prayer. Two, there was at that time a book, I think it's called Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, it's a great book. It's like, it starts out with, you know, walking on the beach with
the seashells.
Collecting seashells isn't the destination, you know? And
Naples, Florida.
I yeah.
think he calls out
and it,
retirement communities.
That's a hard truth.
Yeah. And there's a balance to all that. I mean, God does want us to have peace in some leisure in our older age, but that's not the destination. Our destination is like working for the kingdom. And so, yeah, I mean, the bottom line, things aren't going to be hard and it's okay. Mm. And the cool thing is going into something knowing it's going to be hard, you have proper expectations. You also are driven to seek help in the Christian community and other resources. So you get prepared because your eyes wide open. I mean, I know there's been lots of, just specifically talking about adoption, families who just do not do that, and they're blindsided by a difficult situation, and that leads to a different outcome. So I think facing the fear, and it could be marriage, it could be having kids, it could be jobs. Like,
yeah, a difficult
count
job
the
transition.
Cost. I mean, I think the Bible says count the cost, you know? And when you count the cost, it drives you to prayer, learning, being fully aware of what's going on, so then you're prepared. So it's prayer and preparation.
From the outside in, I think that's something that you've taught me, and that is to seek help, seek wise counsel. You do that really well. You're a leader, you're an entrepreneur, you lead companies, but that doesn't stop you from still learning and being a student and saying, hey, I'm not the expert here. I need an outside source. So you've modeled that greatly. And it's interesting that you mentioned that book, because I'm going to use that to segue over to you, Carl. Mm-hmm. That book, Contrast, if I'm not mistaken, collecting seashells on a beach to two women. I think they've lost their husbands and they're of retirement age, but then they go to Africa and they spend their days in Africa, but then they pass away tragically, I think in a car accident or something like that.
Oofed.
Yeah. So, which, if you've been to Africa, I can see how.
Actually, that's an amazing connection. One of the season that we had, that I remember being very intense. I mean, there's valleys and mountains all the way through, but our first term was really hard. And that was one of them. We were always going to funerals all the time because of car accidents. We were in Northern Nigeria this was our bush allocation. So we were 3 years with solar panels and my carbon footprint is very low. At a well, we had well, you know.
Proud of you, Carl.
Thank you for that. I just wanted to get that in there.
For your service to our world.
But anyway, it was really hard because people kept dying in car accidents because I think the rate is like 20 to 25 times higher in sub-Saharan Africa than it is in our cities because of, you know, all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, cars break down. Yeah,
break down.
Not to mention traffic flows and then lack of organization. And
then you have the great guy who our friends from the other majority religion who say if God wills, and so they'll drive without lights to save their battery, and when you pull out to pass, all of a sudden you've got an oncoming car that turns its lights on just for a second. Who will pass uphill on a curve with regular, because it's just fate, right? So, there's so many. And we were always going to funerals. And then I mentioned in the talk, the sickness. I was a sick puppy a lot. I was, at one point I was getting a big malaria attack every about 6 weeks. And we were thinking we might have to come back from, you know, overseas, because I was just getting sick all the time. But the Lord provided a way. We went actually to the east side and we got a diagnosis, and they did like a zapperoo. That's a technical term on my system. And it got rid of a parasite that was actually bringing me down, and then the malaria would kick in and stuff. So that was a real answer to prayer. We thought, wow, and it was me getting it. And I'm not usually consider myself a weak person or something like that, constitutionally, but it was just getting beyond that. And then I remember especially one time when we had our first child overseas. So we had one of our daughters in Nigeria, and there was a problem with the delivery, and Joy was bleeding like crazy. Mm. And I would say that you can get good doctor care sometimes, but the nursing level is not proactive. So it's very reactive, and it's not, you know, so they don't, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it differs because we were in the rural area, and but it's just a different mindset. So I thought, wow, this is not usually, she's bleeding more now than she did when she had, when she gave birth. So I went and hunted down the doctor myself, and I said, can you just check out my wife? And he saw her, and he said immediately he took her into surgery. And I remember looking through the window saying, Lord, what are we doing here? And how can we get through this? You know, I just got over a whole bunch of sickness. And now Joy's, she could have passed after that, because she was hemorrhaging big time. And of course, we had to take blood, which can be a deal.
That's scary.
And we just said, Lord,
we're trusting.
We're in your hands, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, the Holy Spirit gives you the power at the time to do that. But it helped to know God called us there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there was a call to go there. And so he would have to, that was our purpose. And so that had to come with it.
Yeah. Okay, Carl, you're a Bible scholar. You are, you help in translation. That's what you do. So help me translate that episode that you lived in Northern Nigeria. How does that translate to our lives here, where we live incredibly comfortable lives,
right,
where we have the best medical, you know, right, attention we can receive? How do you still live now here with that same level of faith and obedience?
Well, I think every trouble, you know, how do you measure trouble? I mean, trouble is trouble, whether it's, you know, if you're on the way to the airport and you have a flat, that's a trouble at that point. It's hard to measure it compared to like big troubles, but it's the same principle, I think, is that God is in control, I think just develop a habit of relying on him. And then when those moments happen, you're kind of keyed into what would, you know, how to be able to put it in his hands. But oftentimes you need each other. I often joke that with Joy and I, you know, we just didn't want to come back on the same day, right?
Yeah.
Because two people can keep each other going. And that's what the community is so important, right? And then also we had community around us, which was huge, to process all this, like old wizened missionaries who had, you know, done the bit. And they were very encouraging to us, you know, because we were new at that time of the season I'm mentioning. So
yeah, that's really good. So the significance of community.
Yes.
Of making sure that we're surrounded by people of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that I'm hearing in both of your stories that I certainly can relate to is the difference between moving in fear and moving in faith. So both of those stories, mm-hmm, you can say fear was there.
Right.
Hey, if you bring these girls home, Zach and Stephanie,
right,
all these terrible things, and we don't know what's going to happen to their future, and look at the stats, and you can fill yourself with information that only strikes fear inside. And same thing, why would you move to the bush in Northern Nigeria? You know, you could have lost your wife, you could have lost your daughter.
I know, looking back, it's like, what?
You could have lost your own life, but you didn't, neither of you allowed fear to dictate your decisions. You were motivated by faith. And I think that's the radical peace that God brings us. It's not that everything's going to be fine, that we're going to be free from trouble. But if we take a step further, whatever God may be calling us to do, whether talking to a colleague about Jesus or leaving your job because of some tension there with your faith
and,
or move from this to that or say yes to this relationship, no to that relationship. If we are motivated by fear, we will see God's goodness and we'll see God's faithfulness.
And that's when the promises and the word of God become so precious. You know, it becomes not theoretical, but like life-giving and life-sourcing. Yeah. That was another part of the piece is the community with the word of God, right?
Yeah. And then you see the results.
Yeah.
And the results speak for themselves. God is good.
Yeah.
He is faithful.
Yeah, every time.
It may be a hard season, but it's only a season.
Yes.
And then over the time, and Zach, I think about your daughters married and wonderful, but not perfect. None of us are.
Sure.
But boy, it's fun to look at God's goodness over a period of time and his faithfulness.
Amen.
Let's transition and talk about the church, because I think we're seeing some of this present in the church. I shared on Sunday that we had the biggest church, number of people coming to church two Sundays ago. Well, this week actually was bigger. There's certainly a hunger, I think, for God, for gathering with God's people, explanation, what is true? Mm-hmm. How do I live my life in light of that truth?
Right.
And so, if God wills, both of you will be overseers here in a few weeks. Anyway, I just love to hear your take as to what you see God doing in our church. Some things that may be encouraging you as you see this move. It's not unique. I need to say this. It's not unique to our church. I think we're just in this greater move that God is doing over our community, our nation, the world. But I'd love to hear and spend maybe a few minutes here talking about what you guys see God doing in the church.
Well, it's interesting because Joy and I pray every night for revival because it's not politics.
That.
It's the Spirit of God blowing through the church Amen. Being what it's supposed to be based on the Word, living Christ in the location. It's a taste of the kingdom of God that's coming. And so it's been amazing to see just recently even this kind of revival of interest in pursuing Jesus by especially young people.
Yeah.
And you know, if the study of the history of revival is really a good one to do. I mean, there's so many great. I mean, England basically would have gone the way of the French Revolution in a violent thing, except for the Spirit blew through Wesley Whitfield, the evangelical revival, and then our own country.
And then they came over this way.
They brought
the winds of revival.
That's right.
Across the Atlantic.
And then you know, we in American tradition, one of the interesting parts of our country is that the circuit riders going out in all parts of the country.
Right.
I mean, so you always had that kind of
movement
feeling. And, you know, it's funny. There's a great story about the Welsh revival in the 1900s. You know, we talk about defunding the police. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the way you defund the police. You have the Holy Spirit blow through so much that there was no crime in Wales during the Welsh revival. And so the police were saying, what do we do? So if you really want, you know, I mean, that's...
They probably went to go play soccer.
They did.
My
or sing in the shower, perhaps. But they have great choirs in Wales. But yeah, so a lot of social benefits come out of revival. And even in England, the gin, you know, there was a big trouble with alcohol, the gin. And it was the revival that blew through that helped change the social dynamics. Prison reform came out of the evangelical revival in England. So anyway, it's very exciting to see a move amongst young people, especially towards Jesus. And the clear thing now is how do we shepherd and help our young people to kind of get in the kingdom mindset and you know, train and equip and reach out for others that. So it's a very exciting time right now.
Yeah, big emphasis on next generation, which again, if you're not in the next generation, you're the wise generation, the experienced generation. That may have some tension there, and it's not neglecting the needs of the current any generation. It's acknowledging then that the way that the Bible's generational.
Yes.
And it was always about who's next, who's next.
Right.
Because if we want to continue to see the kingdom of God grow, we need to acknowledge that we have an expiration date.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we need to spend our days investing in the next generation. So Zach, I'd love to hear some of the things that you have seen and are encouraged by what God's doing in the church.
Yeah, I mean, there's the global church, and then there's our church here at Cypress Creek. And what I feel like is it is a younger generation and young families even having a season of disillusionment and lack of community. And for us here, it's just a great opportunity to love and care for people and show them Jesus. And, you know, I think that the community groups are a great model for that. And I believe that those that are maybe older and don't feel like they fit in, or I don't know what the feelings may be, but like, it's really great to have the 40 plus in there with the new marrieds and the young couples, because that is a generational connection of wisdom and support that the young families are wanting and needing. And they, you know, when I was young and first had children, we looked up to the 40-somethings that had been through there, and we were needing support in that time. So the cross-generational communities is great. Mm-hmm. Community groups are great, and it's a great way to care and grow as a church. And then also just having great gatherings on Sunday. It's a great place for people who really don't know much about Jesus and just like want to show up and hear what's going on.
Right.
And that's a different model, and we're providing a great place for that with great worship experience and great teaching. So, and they can hear the gospel in that way. So there's two really great ways to integrate into the gospel in church, is through being invited to a community group and just being in a community, or coming to church and hearing that way and then joining community.
Yeah.
So it's a cool model.
And I just finished the three Discovery series, and that's a super way to get channeled in. I'm very impressed, having done it myself through the system. It's really good, and it really can launch you into community and also scripture study and all the kind of the basics, you know, pass, dribble, shoot of the Christian faith.
Yeah,
so it's that's a great opportunity to just go there, and I was not paid for this advertisement.
I'm about to pay you. I'm about to slip you a five, because that was great. Next Discovery starts in 2 weeks, so if you missed this last month, we're going to do this every month from now on, because it's tied to what you're talking about, Zach. As we grow as a church, the power really is in getting smaller. So if we continue to grow, then we'll become an entertainment platform.
Right.
It'll just be come and see great worship. Come and hear an all right message. Come and experience this powerful thing once a week. But we miss out on living life with one another, which can only happen. I can't know everything in every person's life that's coming to our church, and I shouldn't, as the lead pastor. We have community group leaders that are empowered, equipped, so that they can lead smaller groups where we really can be in each other's lives. So as we get larger, we also need to get smaller, and Discovery is our vehicle of getting a large church into small groups and more. There's a lot more equipping. It's more than just getting connected to a community group. And what I loved through these last 3 weeks is the intergenerational mix at the tables.
Right.
So sneak peek, one of the things is a 3-minute segment to share part of your story.
Yeah.
Not the whole thing, but just share something, just like we did. Mm-hmm. Something that God did in our lives that's transformative and special. And I was about to call time, but I was looking around and I saw some tears. And I thought, it's time right now is not the most important. We just need to let this go a little longer.
That's very African to let the moment take over there, you know.
It's also very Mexican.
Yeah.
And so that's maybe why we like to just linger at the dinner table culturally,
because
we just want to enjoy the moment. It's also very Dutch.
Yes.
We kind of hit our European friends' hearts. Yeah. Let me redeem them. This Dutch word that I learned when I lived over there, gezellig, which means that a good time knows no time. When you're in the moment and it's good, time doesn't matter. You want to stay in that moment as long as you can, because it's just so good.
A good translation of that word is kind of like cozy.
Cozy
in with a group. Yeah. And just on African culture, you know, it's they value the older generation way more than we do in the U.S. In U.S., we're a youth-based culture. But in all the cultures we've dealt with in East and West Africa, they have a very strong emphasis on, you know, if you have a beard, meaning age, you know, you're instantly brought in as somebody who you've survived this long. A leader of some sort. So that just kind of highlights that, you know, that intergenerational aspect in our culture is so necessary also.
So what you're saying is that our overseers need to grow beards is the hot take from that.
That, and also the flip side of that is the beard does not prevent learning a new thing. That's my favorite Tiap proverb, you know. So in other words, old men can learn new tricks.
That's right.
And old people.
Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. And I love how our church has that mix. Right. And I think another word there is honor.
Right.
We need to honor those that have come before, that are experienced. And I'm grateful that I get to be in this position surrounded by men like y'all that are wiser, more experienced, and an incredible source of encouragement for me as somebody, you know, steps behind. And I want that for every person in our church, that they know that they can be a part of a church that has all the generations represented,
right,
as we look forward to whatever God has.
Yeah, interesting thought around that is when I got to be 30, I realized, whoa, I didn't have it all figured out.
Mm.
And that was the first time in my life where I was like, I'm going to know a lot more and have a lot more figured out by the time I'm 40 and then 50. And like, it was kind of that first moment of self-awareness that, because, you know, when you're young, you really kind of think you have it all figured out, especially early 20s and idealistic and you have it, you know, smart.
I'm curious, what prompted that? Was it age? Was it a birthday? Was it a failure?
No,
was it
just
an opportunity?
A pontification, really. Just a self-awareness, like, you know. And then, of course, it's annual now. Like, I mean, I just grow annually. And part of that is the desire to learn and get better and continuous improvement. Like, I think it's good. A growth mindset should never end until you're not here anymore. And that's in your faith and in your learning and in your relationships. So, but I will say that the amount of stuff I've learned since I was even your age about everything is a lot. So it's cool that you get to learn from people that have learned the hard way, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's a cheat code almost, you know, because I can ask and then if I get the answer, then it's almost like I'm saving time.
For sure.
And to your point, there's so much that I thought I knew just a year ago that it took a year for me to know the same thing, but it's a deeper level of understanding. And it leads me ultimately to, I think, the key here that you're talking about, Zach, in leadership, which is humility.
Yeah.
It's what John the Baptist said, who Jesus said, he was a pretty big deal. He was the greatest among men, but he said, I must decrease so that he must increase. And the more we decrease, the more we're humble and say, all right, Lord, here are my plans. I don't have it figured out. God has a way of showing up and blessing you with what you need. So,
yeah, it's that mindset of I must decrease. You know, it also keeps you from holding on to something too long, you know, whatever it may be. Even if it's your kid's youth, like, it's okay.
They're going to grow.
You know, this is part of life is a journey, not the destination. Every day is the day. And it could be your position at church or your business or, yeah, like all these million things you could hold on to as you get older. There's seasons and ultimately, you know, hopefully we're all, when we're elderly, we're sages and able to speak into the youth, and that's our goal. And but even then, you have to give up things to get there.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for spending this time with me and with those listening to share a bit more about your story, share more about what you see God doing in the church. I'm encouraged I'm encouraged by all that's going on, and certainly exciting. Grateful for the opportunity that's presented here for y'all to serve as overseers of the church, something that is not taken lightly, something that is a big deal. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, those are qualifications. And I love that those qualifications aren't like a resume of what you've done. Those qualifications speak to the character of the heart. Right. And again, I'm just thankful for the way that you both live your lives, and want to share with those listening, continue to pray. We'll come back November 9th, Sunday, to see what God wills, see what God wants. And just for clarity, it's not either or, it's both and. So Carl and Zach are not arm wrestling for one for one spot. We want to add both if that is what God wants. And so continue to pray, and email overseers@cypresscreekchurch.com if you have any questions, concerns, etc. Thank you both for this time. And already looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.